Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello and welcome back to the Rugby Pod. I'm Freddie and Big Jim and Goody are here with me as usual. We'll be discussing all the action from round three of the Champions Cup.
Hold on, what's happening here?
Well, mate, I've just been, you know, brought in by your boss, Fred. To
welcome.
Kind of, you know...
We're his boss, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, you're his boss.
Welcome, Freddie.
Well, it's wonderful to see
let's
you.
Let's do the intro. You can finish the intro after.
Last week we heard it was the two of you just going, you know, at each other. They said we need to bring in a known presenter to try and keep these boys under control.
Rob, you still there? I thought we're not, man.
So, Freddie, let's just work through the weeds on this. So,
yeah,
for the Rugby Pod fans,
yeah,
the super fans will know who you are.
I was meant to come in subtly and just take over from Andy Rowe week to week occasionally when you needed me. And so I've decided that maybe not to make such a big splash, Jim, but I will answer. I've done your tour. I've done a couple of dates with Goody and yourself.
So it's been a fractured element to the pod going forward, Freddie. As in, you and Goody have done a bit, me and you have done a bit.
Yeah.
We've done a couple of live shows together.
Yeah.
You've got your own podcast called The Rig Shiz or Shits or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
The Shiz
nice
Beers.
Bit. Rob was shocking last week. So we're kind of like a fractured unit, which is trying to find its path forward as we get into... the business end of the season, which isn't just the end of the season, the Six Nations
it's
around the corner.
It's the Champions Cup as well, which we will be discussing in detail today.
Well, Freddie, good luck is what I'm saying, mate. Because you're going to have to mop up after us. And if it's shocking, if it comes out well, you know there's a heavy edit. That's what I'm saying. Rob, firstly, you did 1 week only. You've lost your job. How are you feeling about that?
Stress, mate.
Right, that's it. That's enough.
Well said, Rob. Well said. Blue Monday. Happy Blue Monday, everyone.
Is that what it is?
It is, yeah.
Which is what?
It's meant to be the toughest day of the year. In terms of mental health and everything like that. So, hello everyone. Say hello to people. Be nice. Ask them how they are. How are you, James?
Oh, I feel bad now because I've just rinsed Freddie.
Nah, it's his debut, isn't it? You get rinsed on your debut.
Yeah.
Have we got an initiation for Freddie?
I think that hot coffee you've got, you should chop it.
I think you should do it all with your top off.
Sorry, Freddie, finish your intro and then we'll get into it.
Well, we're going to be discussing all the action from round three of the Champions Cup, where you boys were obviously working it over the weekend. And also, we'll be talking about Steve Borthwick's England squad, which is coming out on Wednesday. Until we get to there, sit back, relax, and make sure you're subscribed on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
I would say that last bit there was better than Andy Rowe.
Way better.
Like just 100%. Just quick. 100%. Rob, nice.
Let's not go too hard on Andy Rowe. He's gone, but he's still listening.
I'm going harder. I'm watching him on beaches, like with music over the
Fuck
top.
Him.
I'm seeing the sun. Forget Andy Rowe. F you. We've got Freddie here who plays the guitar. I always said that to Andy Rowe. I used to piss him off massively.
I was
like, Freddie Cloud from the Rig Shiz plays the guitar. Like anyone who plays a guitar for me is a better man than me or woman.
Thank
a lot of women
much.
Play guitar. So Freddie, welcome.
Well, boys, how was your week? Both of you were very busy. No offense, Goody, but Jim, yours seemed to be slightly more romantic. You were hanging out with some superstars.
Well, you say romantic. Hang on. Let's get this right. There ain't a huge amount of romance when you're on the road. Like, I'll be honest.
You had a busy week, didn't you?
What a busy week. Who were the stars? First, hit me with some of the stars.
Started off with Return of the Mac.
Here it is. Actually, yes, I am belittling myself in what has been an unbelievable week. I didn't even think that far back. So can I just set the scene, Andrew?
You set the scene. I know it. I mean, you've told me all about it.
I know. Same old. He is all of it. So Monday, landed from Dubai. Podcast on Monday that we hosted. Heavy edit. Tuesday, I'm on a flight to Dublin to do a show with Mac Hansen, who literally was straight off the operating table. He was off his rocker.
Still on the old morphine.
Oh, he was, fair play, he had no sleep. Absolute warrior. He's had a big old surgery as well, so we wish Mac well. Bernard Jackman on stage, legend, friend of the show. Stephen, get your kits off as well. Took a while to warm up, but nonetheless, a legend's going to come on the pod as well. So I was there on Tuesday, Wednesday. I was in Paris with the great Sia Khaleesi.
Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah, very cold.
Cold. I was at Wrestling 92. And he asked me.
How good's their training ground?
Unreal.
Yeah.
I went there 10 years ago. I nearly signed for Wrestling. And I saw Laurent Travers.
All the best did you sign for?
I swear on my life. I swear on my life. When I went to Montpellier, I nearly went to Wrestling. I was like, should've Paris
gone
me.
You should have gone to Wrestling.
100% I should have went to Wrestling. But Sia was there and he said, basketball game tonight, Keane. I was like, I like basketball. And in my mind, I was like, I love basketball if it's NBA. Like, nah, I ain't going to the basketball. Get home, watching it on TV, David Beckham,
yeah.
Pharrell Williams, Ronaldo, Sia Khaleesi, and there's a seat next to him that had my name on
it. I noticed that, like, you've done your bit with Sia, and Sia didn't post any pictures of you, but posted loads of him and Bex.
He's not happy with Rugby Pass.
Oh, why?
Well, he's not happy after the weekend. We get onto that. But one of the young interns posted a picture of him getting sat down by Alfie Barbary. So
you get sat down, you get sat down.
And it's Alfie Barbary, man. Yeah. I used to spin with his mum, so I don't mind, but he ain't happy. He ain't happy at all. But anyway, I was with Sia on Wednesday, Thursday, and then I did the big one for Viaplay, hashtag always versus Gloucester. And then I was in Bath, also known as Bath. Weird atmosphere in Bath. Still not warm there. But I was
It sounded great, though.
Did it?
I thought on the TV it sounded busy. Well, it was busy.
It was busy.
It was fucking rammed.
Yeah.
But it was loud.
Nah.
Oh, Nick Mullins is lying to me then. He said on comms, the atmosphere is unbelievable and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, feeling a bit harsh.
And whatever Nick says, I believe.
I believe. I saw Nick, he was asking for you, and I saw Johnny Gould, the great Johnny Gould.
I was sending Nick messages on Saturday. Do you know why?
Because there's a new roster being announced for TNT next year.
Nope, nothing to do with rugby union.
Leicester City football?
Yep.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Stop it. You don't know.
Did City Till We Die beat them?
M69 Derby?
Yeah.
At the Coventry Building Society Arena. Coventry City.
We did the job on Leicester.
3. Leicester City. 1.
In our Coventry homes. In our Coventry homes. I can't remember what it was on that. I didn't
there
even
we
see
go.
It.
Yeah, 3-1. It's on Sky Sports.
There we go.
And yeah, very good play. Hello, Nick.
Hello. Hello.
The maestro, I call him.
Mm.
Stooksy as well. Had a run in with him, didn't you? In the post-match
interview.
Yeah,
we kind of just fabricated a bit of it. Elliot Stook.
It's fellow biscuits, isn't it?
He's got a proper biscuit. He actually looks older than me. Elliot Stook, who was on the bench for Bath in the second row, I reckon he could be 15 years younger than me, and he looks 10 years older.
He has got a proper biscuit on top of his head. He needs to go and see my guy.
He has.
As you did, Jim. Your hair's looking good now.
It's looking great. I actually have a bit of a biscuit at the minute. I'm just putting that down to a bit of stress, but from travel, even though I'm not stressed. But yeah, but Stooky's got a biscuit. We built this narrative around me and Stooky having beef. He started it. He came over and we just thought we'd throw it out there to the Wolves. But busy week. Love my job and I love my life.
What about you, Giddy?
What did I do last week? So just working in FX in the week, as you do. Hitting the gym, as you do.
Oh, we see it on Instagram.
Yeah.
I reckon there's a bank of videos. I swear to God, do you have any other gym gear or not? Is that, you just have one blue Adidas vest?
I've got blue and black, and I've got two sets of each, James. So blue vest times two, blue shorts times two, black vest times two, black shorts times one, grey shorts times one. Just rotate.
And what is it? Is it like maintenance now? So you had the weight loss, and it was drastic, where you swore there was no injections and there was
no gastric band.
No. So what's the...
Or injections.
So is it just maintenance
now? It's just 3 or 4 times a week.
Of what? Like, as are you looking to get fitter, stronger, or is it just...
Continue the journey, James.
What's the journey? Okay.
I'm just going to get better week on week.
So you want to get better? So you want to get stronger?
I don't know. I just go into the gym.
Well, it's like getting in the car. You don't know where you're going, Goody. Like, you must know where
you're
going.
Well, no, I know what's happening. Turn up at the gym, Full Circle Fitness Cooking. Yeah. Big mics there, bit of banter, gets me on a ski erg to start off with or an assault bike. 3 minutes warm up, can't breathe after that. Quick, go on the vape.
Do you have any vape when you're in there?
No, of course I don't, no. And then he tells me what to do and I just do it.
But you said it's the journey, but surely there's
the,
like...
The journey from my house to the gym, it's got a bit longer because one of the bridges is closed over the River Thames. But just get in, train, do as you're told. I'm not a thinker in the gym. I'm not like, right, I want to do this for this reason. I turn up, he tells me what to do. He gives me the weights. He dictates how much weight's on there. And I'll just nod and do it. Mm. He's a legend. Shout out to Big Mike.
Yeah, he's done us, all of us, not just you. Yeah. He's done us all a solid because you're still here. Yeah, healthy. Mate, you look genuinely looking good. That's why I was asking where the journey takes us.
I don't know, just continuing doing what I'm doing. But anyway, yeah, so Friday I did the big one. Newcastle Benetton.
Who's watching that?
On Viaplay.
Not many.
Viaplay debut, though.
Rob, you watched that?
No, didn't see it.
And you're a Newcastle fan, you didn't watch it. So you've got Andy Goode from the podcast who you love.
People weren't going to tune in for me. People,
no, but that's
a bit, people aren't tuning in because A, it's Newcastle against Benetton, but B, it's the Challenge Cup and all that. Good game, though.
Yeah, but if Rob's not going to tune in for that, Goody.
Yeah, he's not a real fan.
He's not a rugby fan.
No, he's not a real fan. Anyway, I was absolutely freezing. Absolutely Baltic there. You know the far right corner as you come out the changing rooms? That's where the wind blows in. And they decided to put the presentation area there with the cameras and all that stuff. Doing this TV stuff, you stand around for a bit, don't you?
You do stand around, and I know that you've got the very best gear. You've probably got a jacket that heats itself up and walks itself into the bag.
I've lost all my body fat, that's the problem. Well, I need to put some back on to stay warm.
To do that role, you do, but I was watching part of it on social media, and I was like, you forgot your trousers, because you had the under-leggings on, but no trousers to go over the top.
They're my jeans, pal.
Wait, your legs are to bones now.
Skinny jeans.
Skinny jeans are not in its baggy all the way now.
Nah,
I'm begging you, please don't wear them again. The association with the brand.
Well, there's also some good news to be had, because you guys have been nominated for the best rugby podcast for the third year running at the Sports Podcast Awards. You've won the last 2 years. I found out the hard way a couple of years ago when you were up against my one.
What's yours called?
The Rigsbiz.
Yeah, that's it.
Shrizbiz.
Yeah, found out in Belfast it was going. But you guys...
Well, as in, why was it gutting? Did you think you had a chance?
No, not really. It was just finding out, you know, 2 weeks before it was officially announced, when I had to film you guys doing the announcement, it was quite fine.
Mate, that's a humbler. That's fine.
Anyways, you guys are up for the third victory in a row, and all you guys have to do if you're listening is type in the Sports Podcast Awards and you can vote for the Rugby Pod on there. Hopefully they can bring it home.
Who are we up against?
There's a few. The shortlist is the Rugby League Outsiders, so it's not just Rugby Union.
I like Rugby League.
Cherry Jam, a Gloucester rugby supporter podcast.
Cherry Jam?
That's what it's called. Happiness Is with Bruce Aitchison.
Yeah, I like Bruce.
This is a big one.
Go on.
The BBC Scotland Rugby Podcast.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
I have Andy Burke and Tom English.
There you go. The Bench with Jenna and John.
No, not heard that. John Barclay?
That's Rugby League again.
Okay.
Bears Beyond the Gate.
Is that Bristol one?
Yeah.
Banter.
The official Rugby World Cup 2023 podcast.
Well, the World Cup's over, so you can't vote for that, can you?
Yeah. 40-20 Live.
40-20! That's rugby league. Rugby league! There's a few rugby leaguers creeping in.
And the Devil in the Detail, SRD, Salford Red Devils. And the Good, the Scars and the Rugby.
Well, vote for us. It looks bloody great on LinkedIn.
Guys, let's talk about some rugby, because obviously Wednesday's a big, big day. Steve Borthwick announcing the England squad for the Six Nations. Any surprises coming up?
Going to be loads, I think. Not necessarily surprises in a lot of people's eyes, but new players and different players. There's a change in the guard, isn't there?
Before you get into it, I think England are going to be very good.
Thank you, James.
For the reasons that, Andrew, you're going to go through, because of the quality of players and the way that these players are playing at the minute.
Yeah,
loads to choose, like absolutely loads to choose from. I don't think it's ever been harder for Steve Borthwick to choose a bunch of players.
The biggest thing for Steve and the hardest thing for Steve is to go away from his identity. Because a lot of these players don't suit a Steve Borthwick coach team that we've spoken about. As in kick chase, defence, lineouts, scrums, the basics of rugby that he's built. Foundations at Leicester and that stuff. And then we saw he took over the England job and he's like, I've got 9 months until the World Cup, so I've got to put building blocks in place. And, you know, we saw how England did well, came third, you know, lost to South Africa by a point in a semi. And it wasn't enthralling rugby to watch, but effectively he was winning games however which way, which got us to a semi-final and could have beaten South Africa, and then finished third. So kudos for all that stuff. But it's now time to evolve. And a lot of the players that are on form were watching the Gallagher Premiership and the Investec Champions Cup and seeing the likes of Tommy Freeman play really well, Ollie Lawrence, Henry Slade's back in the mix, Marcus Smith.
You reckon Henry Slade's back in?
Henry Slade has to be back
in the
mix. I hope
so.
Picking on form. And Steve has openly said, opposite of Eddie Jones... Eddie Jones didn't really care about Premiership form, did he? And he openly said that. He said, mate, it's not about being a Premiership rugby player. Steve believes in it. And we're seeing a lot of these players play exceptionally well. You know, the big ones are around the props at the minute with all the injuries. Theo Wobosso on the wing. He's English till he dies.
I think
now,
he's 25,000 reasons why he's
exactly.
English.
There's a lot of good young talent. Ironically, there's a fair bit at Saints. And these players who haven't got much international or any international experience, bar Henry Slade, are really going to step up. The big one, And it's always, I'm a bit biased because I'm a fly half, is who are you building your team around at 10? We know Faz is out. It's got to be Marcus Smith, in my opinion. And that then dictates how a team can play. So loads of exciting players. The problem is the front row is going to be a bit of an issue for if Genge isn't fit, Joe Marler's not fit, Sinclair, depends on him, not fit. You know, you're then going down, and we saw at the weekend in some games how important scrums is, and it's magnified more and more at international level. If you're getting hosed in the scrum, you ain't winning a test match, are you? So players like Benno Urbano, who's played exceptionally well, you know, there's Asher Opoku-Fojor at Sale. You know, he's not started many, if any, games. He's come off the bench and had big impacts. But, you know, Steve now has to evolve the team in terms of how we play, but also the personnel. There's going to be a team picked and a squad picked, and some of them are going to have very little international experience, which is both exciting and semi-daunting. But luckily, we start with the easy two, Italy away and then Wales at home. So,
and that's the thing. I think that makes a difference. Do you not think?
Yeah.
And no disrespect to Italy, whether Steve will see this, but say you want to mix it up completely. So say you want to go in and be like, we've lost Faz. We can't pick a number of players now because they're playing abroad. Like, how do you do it? Like, do you go straight in? Ben Spencer at 9, for example.
Yep.
If that's the way you want to go tactically, kick in.
I actually don't think Ben Spencer starts at 9.
No, Mitchell will start
Mitchell's
at 9.
Mitchell's been on fire.
But that's what I mean. So it depends how you want to go. So you imagine a back line of England. So on form, Alex Mitchell.
Yep.
You go Marcus Smith.
Yep.
You go Ollie Lawrence at 13. But you could put him at 12. And then that 13 spot opens up. Freeman can play 13 or play in the back three. Yep.
You could play Slade and Lawrence together.
But you could play Slade if you're going on form.
Yeah.
And you've got Freddie Stewart. You've got...
the wingers, you've got Cochina Singer. You've got Will Muir. Freeman.
Will Muir at the weekend.
The horse.
As in, doesn't look
he's hung
like
a horse as well?
It definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course he is. But you can go through the names. But when you say that team out loud, you think, but on form, that's the route you could go down. It would be unbelievable from an England fan in terms of attack and how you want to go about it.
But you've
got
to allow the players to play that way. Mm. Yeah, there's a load of other players as well that are performing in the Prem.
Rob, any?
Well, Finn Smith at 10. Is he back up 10?
Mm.
Well, George Ford's injured at the minute, isn't he?
Yeah, if you're playing for the future.
Yeah, I think Marcus Smith and Finn Smith, both in.
The George Ford's in there as well.
Yeah, Northampton are so good, aren't they? You know what I mean? Like, you look at Northampton play and you watch them absolutely pull the pants down of Bayonne. They weren't even wearing pants. You watched what they did against it, and you could be like, every single one of them players could go and play international rugby, but you can't base it on a team run.
No, it's exciting. It's more about the identity of the team, though, and how that changes. In the back row, Tom Pearson at Northampton. He's been phenomenal.
Love him.
Courtney Laws is playing the best rugby ever since he's retired from international rugby, but Tom Pearson's ready to go in that. Alfie Barber, if he doesn't get banned, has been brilliant. Over the last few weeks.
Again, I spoke to Alfie. I was like, hey, I hope he doesn't mind me sharing it. I said, what's Steve saying? Kick chase. Big thing for him. Big work on. But you know what? You know what? Goody, don't you dare.
That's you. Hold on. That's Alfie Barber's work on. Kick chase.
No, not.
Just 50 metre sprints, lads.
Not all of that.
That's the worry for me. Yes, it's a big part of the game, especially international rugby. But if that's your driver and if that's your first thing you think about, no.
But he's good at everything else. But I watched the game and I was watching Alfie. And when you say kick chase...
You don't want him kick chasing.
No, it's not his fitness.
You want him at the
back.
You
want him in the backfield, but it's fitness. So that's when people hear, oh, you kick chase. I'm watching Alfie and he's slightly behind the line. Like, if I'm being critical, because I love him as a player.
He's carried it four times and ran over four people.
Exactly.
Khaleesi, sit.
So I'm watching Alfie and he's a little bit like that first kind of 5 metres of acceleration.
Yeah.
It's great that you shared that. Hopefully he doesn't mind. I mean, that's part of it. You want
him.
A bit of insight.
You've just got
to
drop
him. Well, he might be getting banned anyway. Yeah. But Alfie Barbary, would love to see him. You imagine a back row, Ben Earl, Alfie Barbary, a Tom Pearson, and then you've got the Curry boys that you could throw into the mix as well. You've got a George Martin, who for me is shoeing at number four.
Yeah, but I think he'll go, in terms of starting, he'll go one of those in the back row. So Chesham, George Martin and Marrow. There's only two second row slots, so I think another one plays six, which maybe means the balance. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, we'll see a bit of everything from everyone.
Do you think Steve will allow them to play a second rugby there? Do you think it's in his nature to allow that?
I hope he's evolving and watching what players are doing on the field, because you can't get away from the fact that the game's changed hugely over the last few years in terms of attacking mindset. Yes, there was a big draw around the World Cup and South Africa won it, and yeah, they played a lot of attack. They evolved as a team, but then went back to type to win the World Cup, didn't they? So it depends what you're looking at. Now, if we're talking about a connection with the fans and feel good factor and all that stuff, you want the team to have an attacking mindset. And it's easier for us to sit here and say it. Steve's not going to be under pressure for his job unless we lose to Italy and Wales and, yeah, have an absolute stinker. But you have to, you can't, we can't just keep kicking it, chasing it, and then hoping that teams make mistakes. And then, yeah, that's our DNA of a rugby team. If you're losing playing that way regularly, you have to change. And it will soon create ill feeling. We saw how quickly everyone turned on Eddie Jones at Twickenham. There was all the boos and all that stuff because people weren't entertained. And an England fan would rather see a team attack and try than just kick and chase and lose games. So I think he has to evolve. He's not going to go, hey, let's play like Harlequins or play sevens or chuck it around completely. But you have to have the license. And giving Marcus Smith the 10 shirt is paramount to that because he can play both ways. He can manage a game, but he sees things that a lot of other 10s don't see, especially English 10s. So you need to have that attacking intent and that excitement as part of your game. Yes, you need all the other bolt-ons as well and building blocks, but Steve has to evolve as well. And there might be a bit of pain along the way where we're trying to evolve, but we are trying to evolve, not I'm just here to win a game of rugby and off we go.
Is it a potential issue that England no longer have that sort of core spine of players and they may be losing out on that sort of consistency?
So, the spine analogy is a great one. And
how's your spine?
Bent.
Weak.
But fucking strong.
Weak.
No, it's
weak,
bent,
weak.
But strong. I'm telling you now, I've got a strong spine. Dense, but bent.
Yeah.
Just like, no. So, the spine of a team. So, when I was researching Gloucester, and this is a perfect kind of analogy to use from a club level, and then we'll get into it. They've lost the spine of their team.
What do you consider the spine of a team, James?
The spine of your team is your key specialist positions. You need a hooker who can throw the ball. Yes, you need a prop, but you could argue every single position. You need an eight to get you over the gain line. I'm going to be biased. You need a second row that can call a line out and charge down and counter ruck and just be an all-round fucking legend, bringing back a bit of nostalgia. You need a nine.
Yeah.
Obviously, sniper, box kicks. You need a 10.
Yeah.
And Ron O'Gara said you need 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Everything else you can fit around that. I'm going to say second row again. Will Skelton. Look at the influence he has.
My days.
If you've got a Will Skelton, my goodness. You don't need anyone else.
Big Willie, little
He's
Willie.
He's just Big Willie now. That's it. That's the spine. You agree with the spine of the team?
Yeah, you could chuck a centre in there as well if he's a sort of decision maker, communicator. Do you consider it a problem that there's going to be a lot of mix and matching? Would you go Danny Kerr and Marcus Smith at 9 and 10 so you've got that little bit of, you know, club understanding and...
I think you need to go with the spine and that's the one that sees you through. So you double down on what you're doing. So if you've got Jamie George on the next cycle, you put him in. You've got Marrow, you put him in. You've got your number eight, which they haven't really had. They've messed around with that position.
Go on, are you going?
Swear to God.
Yeah.
Alfie Barbary. He just offers something different with the side. This isn't me fanboying.
What I thought you were going to go then is... gone Jamie George, gone Marrow, then you've gone Ben.
Oh, no, Saracens are in transition. They're in transition. So that's what I would go. And it's young. It's a little bit kind of sideways. I'm just looking at what I'm seeing. And I'm looking at Alfie Barbary, and this has got nothing to do with me fanboying because I was at the weekend and we spoke about him last week. He's sitting down, so closely in the channels. He'd scored one that got disallowed. Yes, there's a few issues in his game around
Belly was hanging the high tackle.
Amen. Amen to that, brother. You know, he's a man of the people.
But what I will say, I saw abs.
Did you?
He didn't pull it down. Like, if that's a lot of players, you're fucking pulling your jersey
need
down
an
as
eight.
Fast as you can.
You need an eight to get you over the game. So if you think you've got a Barbary and you've got an Ollie Lawrence and you've not got a Manu Tuilagi.
Thought you weren't a Bath fan, James.
I'm warming to them. I just didn't like the energy in the state. Just not there yet. But I'm easily convinced. So that's the spine.
Yeah.
And you're 10. And the issue has been around Owen Farrell because he's so opinionated, he's so integral,
alpha.
He's the captain and
alpha
he's an
dominant.
Alpha, that you probably couldn't get away with what they're doing. Like, now's the time for them. If you've got Marcus Smith, you'd be, here's the keys to the Ford Fiesta, which England are at the minute, even though they finished third.
Third
in the
world, mate. We're the third best team.
In terms of how you're playing. Like,
mate, we are the third best team in the world.
Okay, so you've got a Ford Fiesta with a great engine in it, but looks shit. So there you go. There's the keys. Yeah, that's where I would go.
Who are you going for, skipper, Jim?
I like a forward as a captain.
Marrow?
No. I don't think he's a captain.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't think he's a captain.
If Jamie George is fit, I think you've probably got to go Jamie George.
I think if Ellis Genge is fit, he'll go with Ellis Genge.
Yeah,
he was sat with him watching the game.
Yeah.
So that I'm going Wise based play. On that.
Well played, Ellis. Well played.
Smart. Get yourself on camera. But who else is there? But maybe it's someone else to come to the forward. You know, does Danny care if he starts at nine, which he won't?
Mitchell's our best nine, I think.
I'd go, who knows?
Jim, Scotland squad announced tomorrow. Any bolters?
You got any, Freddie? Who would you go for?
Rory Hutchinson.
Rob, any bolters? Any bolters?
Cam Redpath's been really good.
He's not a bolter or a bolter.
He's not a bolter, but you know, he's always been on the bench, hasn't he? On the periphery.
He has, yeah. Cam Redpath, 12 is an interesting position. Stafford McDowell.
Tui Pulotu every day of the week.
Well, he's been playing 13. Yeah, he's been playing 13 for Glasgow.
For Scotland,
yeah, he's a 12. Well, Hugh Jones has been playing 14 for...
Because of injuries, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there's been a few injuries. The captain, Carl Steyn's injured for Glasgow, who's a wicked player. He's nearly back. But the 12 position, like any, is an interesting debate. So you've got Cam Redpath, who's fit, which is the big thing. He's struggled with injury. I'm a huge fan.
I love the way Cam plays, actually, watching his offloading game and just his at the line, how cute he is with how he shapes his body, puts the ball out the back or has a dig. And it's hard to defend him because he's got all three options.
His relationship with Finn?
Yeah.
The 10-12. Yeah.
So I reckon, actually, I'll take that back. Tui Pulotu at 13, Cam at 12 and Finn at 10 with the Lambo.
Mm, yeah, there's some good players. You saw Glasgow.
This is your time, James. Said it last week. You got a chance of finishing third.
Mm. So
which is like winning it for
it.
You boys.
Yeah, we're just a little bit thin in the front five, as it were. I just feel at that level. But yeah, like Scotland squad.
Who's going to finish higher in the Six Nations, England or Scotland?
England.
Really?
But we beat you again.
Really?
We beat you again at home. Beat you again, but I think England... I've got Northampton in my head, just the way that they're playing. Fucking no chance. Scotland. So bat three, you look how good Scotland are. Duane van der Merwe, he was sunning it in South Africa last week, didn't play. Darcy Graham, you've got Blair Kinghorn carving up in Toulouse now. Aaron Reid, who's been wicked for Sale, we were talking about him. Darcy Graham.
You go the tripod on one wing in van der Merwe, apparently he's hung like an absolute horse. And you can either go Darcy Graham or Aaron Reid on the other wing.
Got a good bat line. Got a good bat line. Ali Price been playing really well at Edinburgh.
Is he starting at nine ahead of Ben White?
Well, Toulon ain't going overly well, are they? So I don't know whether he'll go based on that. You think Ali Price started against Ireland in the last game of the World Cup, which was a must-win game. Ben White's been the man for Greker Townsend. Ali Price has been brilliant for Edinburgh since he's come across from Glasgow. George Horn.
You say it every year, James.
I ain't saying it this year.
I see what you're doing.
Let me reverse engineer this.
I see what you're doing.
Scotland are finishing fifth. I can't say Italy. I can't even know we've got Italy out there. We're finishing fifth. Someone's going to tag that up and it's going to make me look ridiculous. And hopefully it's the opposite.
Yeah, because normally you go, you've got a chance.
Yeah, I want it to be. It's now or never.
How long has it been saying that?
I don't even know what to say. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to compete. We're struggling a little bit up front, so... Glasgow are going well. Edinburgh's form has been okay. You've got Pierre Schoeman at loose head. You've got George Turner, wicked hooker.
Who's tight end?
Ewan Ashman. Well, this is what I mean. You've got Xander Fagerson, who played very well against Exeter at the weekend.
Yeah.
Great scrummager. There you go. We don't have one. We've got VP now. I saw him at the week. It's 52. He's there. He's still playing. Yeah. I'm looking at him. It's like, VP, I played with you, mate, and you were old then. But he's got South African blood. Yeah. Second row, Grant Gilchrist, 100% in. Hamish Watson has been in and out of the Edinburgh squad. I'd have him in all day. Rory Darge, standout player. He's had an injury. Talk of him being back. Matt Fagerson at eight, played at the weekend. Jack Dempsey's on his way back.
Good team.
Well, hey.
Yeah, you're finishing fifth. Good team.
We've got some good players.
Well, Ireland are announcing their squad on Wednesday. Big change there, especially for fly halves. Who do you reckon is going to get called up, Goody?
Well, there's a few, isn't there, that could get called up into it. Everyone's raving about Prendergast.
Well, Bernard Jackman is, and if he says it, we're sold, aren't we?
But then I look at his legs. Like, he's tiny, isn't he?
He's tall.
He's tall, but I looked at his pins and I'm like, oh, bless him, he looks like he's still just come out of school.
So does Finn, though.
Yeah, no, well, Finn's got different body. Finn's got a, I can bang anyone I want, but I don't really care body. But yeah, Crowley for me.
Yeah.
You saw it at the World Cup, the way he was the guy. Frawley's decent as well as an option.
Not played enough at 10, though.
No, but I mean, you've got two lengths to... Billy Burns has gone all right until Toulouse rocked up at the weekend. It's got to be Crowley for me.
Yeah, I think it is an easier decision than we're probably making out, but it's such a big position, right? As in, what do Ireland look like with Johnny Sexton? That's the big conversation going forward. He's similar to Farrell with England, has such a big effect on the team. Everything revolves around him.
Crowley can step in seamlessly.
I'm a massive Crowley fan. Yeah. Think about Munster, 20 injuries, right? So... fucking decimated, like some of them, their best players, and you've got the win at the weekend and how they performed against Toulon away, and Jack Crowley's your 10.
Yeah.
So if he's there or thereabouts, they need to give him the keys to the kingdom and time to bed in.
Prendergast's time will come.
Yeah.
But he still looks like he's just come out of school, which he has effectively.
But the one they were pushing was Ross Byrne,
yeah.
And you've got Harry Byrne as well. I've always felt sorry for Ross Byrne because you're in the shadows, right? Whenever you play and it doesn't quite go to plan, it's like, well, we need Johnny.
That's how I felt when I played.
Yeah.
So exactly the same fucking name
but
as
no
well.
No one felt sorry for him. No one felt sorry for him.
No.
At all. But big decision there.
The biggest decision now, I mean, I think the fly-off one's quite easy, but the biggest one is skipper.
Mm.
Who's your skips? And there's three for me. Maybe four contenders I'm going with.
Okay, so you've got Gary, my old Red Ring Rose.
Yeah, Gary Ringpiece.
Who's been skipper at Leinster
and
a lot this season.
On fire. He was serious.
But he's a 13.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bod.
Dricko.
I don't agree with 13, captain. Okay. I just don't agree.
Give me
I saw Gail Ficou sprinting at the weekend. Give it to Sia. He's the king. James Ryan.
Yeah.
But he might have fluffed it.
Yeah.
He might have fluffed it. The refs don't like him. I don't know that.
Well, it's clear.
I think Matt Carley
said, no, I ain't speaking to you anymore.
You've got him. Do you give it to like a Dan Sheehan?
Yeah, that's
what's
the other
he
one.
Like? Would you go for him? Guaranteed to start.
Yeah.
Definite starter.
He's a chance.
Caelan Miel Doris.
There we go. That's my boy.
Yeah, he's too loose. Love it. Give it to him.
Give it Caelan. I'm going Caelan Doris as skips.
Mm.
Although he talked himself out of it, or talked himself down at
that's
the weekend.
That's what they do. Irish lads, put your hand above the parapet, whatever that is, and say, I want to be skips. Come out and just say it.
Who did that? Who's the last person to do that?
Oh, Hoggy. Hoggy.
He did. He said he wanted to be skips, didn't he? So, and he got it. And then he had a couple of beers and lost it.
Well, I did that against Romania, genuinely, no joke. Captain goes off, Wayne Barnes says who's captain, and naturally I put myself forward, right? Been vice-captain of the second team for years. The water boy runs on, who's one of the coaches, and says, no, it's not you, it's Johnny Gray. Johnny Gray had three caps. I had about 55.
There you go.
Very insulting.
Did you see Andy Robinson at the weekend?
Didn't see him.
Didn't see him. Did you go looking for him?
No. Weird vibe at Bath, eh?
Van Graan blowing kisses to the crowd.
He's great. I'm a big fan of Van Graan. That's why I'm warming to them.
Talking about Bath, let's look at some Champions Cup action and what a victory it was for them against Racing. I mean, just incredible, right?
First half, not great. And this is what I mean. So if I'm being honest, you said about the atmosphere earlier. The atmosphere wasn't there, but the game dictated that.
Yeah.
But it was a full house, blue skies, fantastic city to watch rugby. And they have been awful in recent years. So now they've got this level of success. You've got the Galacticos, even though actually when you look at the Racing team, there are a few voids in that team. You've got Sia Khaleesi and the boys turning up, right? So massive game for them, and they didn't fire a shot in the first half. They got to a point where they were 22 points to 8 down. Yep. You're thinking, my goodness me.
No, biscuit.
Racing were desperate to win that game. Yep. So fully loaded, a load of stuff, a couple of yellow cards, both to Alfie Barbary.
Should have been a red first up.
Hmm. Arguably should have been a red.
How's the referee there? Andre Piardri.
Piardri, Italia. No.
Said, I now see high degree of danger. He's absolutely slipping him 5 metres backwards under the
and
chin.
And the crowd is silent. You know, like normally you get the whistling and the booing, like everyone's staying silent with it. But yeah, so Racing, Will Rowland's in the second row.
He got sin-binned for coming at the side of the mall. Never seen anyone run off as fast as he ran off for his sin-bin.
He just wants to show everyone how athletic he is.
He is athletic as fuck.
Cameron Wookie,
yeah,
talking of athleticism.
Delphine Russell.
Absolutely monstered. Fair play. Did enjoy that. Come on, my old chap as well. Saw him in the gym, actually, in the week.
Really?
I got the 50 kgs out and started pumping them out when he was looking
in your
over.
Jeans?
Like, what is this? In my jeans, in my bomber jacket. What is this? I was like, mate, this is the monster. Also known as Le Monster in French. Gael Ficou, mentioned him, French international. Abosi on the wing as well. It was class. Henry Arundel, who I thought was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Again, if that offload round the back would have stuck. No?
Yeah, well, yeah, but he should have passed it 5 minutes in. Easy try.
Okay. Well, you pick up these things, not me. Yeah. But a good team, Racing.
Yeah.
So you think...
They should have won. They're, I mean, at 22 points to 8 up. But then some of the scrum calls.
I weren't going to say it on the pod. I mean, bloody ball.
He was right with some of them where Racing were going on ridiculous angles. And so we're getting the advantage. It looked like they were hosing Bath in the scrum, but they were doing it legally, so he was right. But then, in his mind, he's like, they're doing that all the time. And the one that was really obvious was when Benno Urbano got a penalty, and it should have clearly gone the other way. It should have gone against Benno Urbano for going in. But listen, Bath, Van Graan got interviewed, and he talked about energy and pace in the game, and that's the way we were going to beat Racing. They didn't show that until they were 22 points to 8 down, and then, my God, they showed it.
Yeah.
The try that Ollie Lawrence creates for the horse, Will Muir, with Cam Redpath's inside ball from the goal line dropout straight off the training ground was ridiculously good. Some of the handling, you saw Finn I think it was a cock and a singer's try. The ball from Ben Spencer, Finn just pulls his hands out of the way because he knows there's enough fizz on it. Someone's closing on him, out to Cameron Redpath, onto cock and a singer. Some of the rugby they play is brilliant. Ollie Lawrence with his offload. You see that one where
into
he's
space,
just...
Oh, threw it in there. God. And that's when you know you're on, right?
Yeah.
Like when you do stuff like
that.
Yeah,
and it was brilliant for Bath to get that win. They've qualified 15 points from possible 15 points in the group so far. Beat Ulster at home, beat Racing with a bonus point as well as Ulster. But, you know, you can't do any more.
Well, they overachieve because you can win one game and still qualify.
There you go. You got heavy on Twitter again, didn't you? You're just back on.
Following your mould.
You're back on.
It's called X.
The best tackling 10 in the world, Fran Russell. He did absolutely. He smoked a couple of boys, actually.
Hmm.
Old club. You always have the bit between your teeth when it's your old club, don't you?
Hmm.
And Cameron Wockey, he got the message, but he got up laughing, didn't he? He's like, this is Finn. Finn, you learned to tackle since you come to Bath.
Yeah, he's always been able to tackle.
Well, that's
tackle.
What Cameron Wockey said to him. On the pitch, apparently.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, but he absolutely smokes him.
He does. Goody, I've told you.
We've said it.
We've said it. Yeah. Finn Russell is, for me, the best tackling 10 in the world. And what does that mean? Someone's
better
hitting
than
me.
Faz.
Someone's hitting me with a load of stats, like as in tackle completion percentages. You don't know what you're talking about. Like that could be based on anything. We don't know how many games these players have played.
Yeah.
At what level they've played at. We're talking about Finn Russell, who's playing at the highest level week in, week out. And I'm not talking about positional play. I'm talking about tackling. Chop tackling. And we saw Big Willie, Little Willie Skelton coming down
I'll tell you now, Finn ain't stopping him.
I've seen Finn. Matt, I've seen him tackle
big
humans. The
way Big Willie, Little Willie came round the corner off that line out, the dinky do. And yes, he's running into Simmons and Shilcock. No one's stopping Big Willie, Little Willie.
I'm not saying that Finn stops him, but Finn is putting his head in the spokes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going full noise to try and stop him, which probably won't be enough for one man in Will Skelton. But the way that he tackles people, that tackle on Cameron Wookie, and I'll tell you why he's probably tackled like that, because he weren't playing well in the game. And I've seen, and I saw at the weekend, the bit between his teeth, massive game for him, not going well in attack. Racing know all about him, don't they?
Yeah.
So they would have done all their homework on him, Stu Lancaster, they were pressurising him, he was on the floor getting hit. So the fact that in his mind, the only way I get back in the game is by smoking some mother. And he's done it on one of the best athletes playing the game at the minute in Cameron Wookie. So I put Finn up there. He's not a high tackler, never gives away high tackles. He is chop, chop, chop till the cows come home.
Well, mentioning Stu Lancaster there, what do you make about his comments on Owen Farrell? And also, you were hanging out with quite a lot of the Racing boys. Did they give you any intel?
Sia said he wants him there. And I'm not saying that I'm surprised. Oh,
it's easy to say he wants him there. Has he signed?
In my opinion, from the outside looking in, it looks like a done deal.
You get the nod?
No one gave me the nod. But
wink?
No wink. No one's given me the wink. They never do the rugby pod. And I'm not a gossiper. But it looks like a done deal.
I liked Stuart Lancaster's take on it. Because he was just honest. He said, yeah. The conversations are going on. He can't say yes, we've signed him unless it's been announced, obviously. But if he says no comment, you're like, oh, come on, mate, give us something. So he went, yeah, I'd love to have Owen Farrell at the club. There are conversations and I think we'll see him there.
And he's the difference,
yep.
I think, for Racing. You look at the 10s they've had before, Dan Carter, Finn Russell, Johnny Sexton, big names, and they haven't managed to quite do it. With someone like Owen Farrell, does he shift the dial for them with his attitude? Sia Khaleesi said, we had it on camera and audio, desperate to have him there. Desperate to have a player like Owen there because he knows what it takes to win. So
maybe not at the minute, though.
Well, we can get on to Saracens.
You're saying about knows how to win.
Team in transition. But if I'm a betting man, I think we're seeing Owen Farrell in Paris next.
Bonjour, everyone. Je m'appelle Owen.
Yeah, just we, not Fratagay.
Well, let's move on because there was another great game down at Exeter Glasgow, and it was quite controversial finish. Were the Warriors robbed, Goody?
No, not at all. I can see all the arguments, and ultimately, and you can pick out at any breakdown, probably three or four penalties where you can argue for each team and go, he's done this, therefore it should be a penalty. But the bottom line is, and some people are like, well, the Exeter flanker was off as well. He wasn't bound on. The problem is, and you start off with what went on between the scrum halves and Horny and Stu Townsend, then was the eight bound. So Horny's pulled Stu Townsend out the way, which is a penalty. You can't manhandle the nine out the way. You could argue Stu Townsend was blocking in an offside position because you're not supposed to do it in front of the ball.
But the ref was happy with the nine.
Yeah, yeah. But that happens. That's a bit of a grey area. But the one for me is because Ross Vincent's picked it up and then done a Jim Hamilton special when he's tried to kick it and absolutely missed it and just gone down his shin.
I only did that once for the Barbas.
The issue is Ferry isn't bound And because he's not bound, he has then, and he stood up, he's just touching the scrum with his hand.
Mate, the props are pumping the floor as well. Everyone's lying on the front, some on the back.
He has profited from not being bound. Had he been bound properly, he might not have got that and he scored the winner. So it's a really difficult one for the referee. It'd be interesting had it been the other way around. Like, it's a home decision, or it's a decision that's gone for the home team. And had it been the other way around, would it have been the same decision? I hope so. But I think it's fair. Someone's like, oh, well, the extra six was off as well. I'm like, doesn't matter. He hasn't profited from being offside effectively. So you are splitting hairs around loaded decisions. But the fact is, Ferry scores the try. He wasn't bound on the scrum. Therefore, that's the obvious penalty. Had someone else scored it, then maybe they wouldn't have looked at Ferry.
This is the issue with the game, a little bit, because of these grey areas and it's not clear. Mm. For me, give it to Glasgow and let us walk into the wilderness of Scottish success. We need it. But that's what I mean. The grey area is what's caused.
Rob Baxter said he saw about three or four penalties before that as well.
Of course he did.
In the scrum.
So. Hey, how well is Rob doing?
Yeah, amazing. With the squad they've got, I'm looking at the squad. There's a lad called Zach Wimbush. What a name.
His dad loves the podcast. He's called his son after us.
Wimbush scores effectively the winner, or the try that levels it up, and then Henry Slade gets his big spuds out and kicks an unbelievable conversion in that wind at Exeter from the wrong side. But some of these kids, I think they're doing GCSEs and A-levels this week. That was his Champions Cup debut. Now, you look at some teams and people are complaining that Stade Francais sent the kids to Leinster. Rob Baxter is getting a hell of a lot out of these young kids with not much Premiership experience. They've qualified. They've beaten Toulon away. They've beaten Glasgow at home. They beat Munster at home as well. And they've qualified already. He's doing phenomenally well.
Love the look of that Ethan Roots as well.
England maybe.
Yeah, from New Zealand, and he's good at jiu-jitsu. So that's why he's so good. Hey, transfers, you
like. Scottish?
Potentially. Who knows? Might have owned a Scotty dog, but he's a good player, Ethan Roots. So they're signing of high-profile players. And we'll talk about Saracens, a team that are in transition as well. You look at a team that's in transition under Rob Baxter, having history of done it before. The big question then comes for Saracens. And you heard Mark McCall talk about a team in transition, and Phil Morrow, who's part of the coaching team as well. Big shout out, Phil. I know you listen to the podcast. The team that they've had and the team that they've built, and don't mention salary cap, Andrew, it's kind of been there and it's been brewing, and you've had a team in its prime. Now this team in transition, it'll be interesting to see how they put together a team, because Rob Baxter, if that's your barometer, is the best in the business. Done it before, won the Champions Cup, won the Prem. Can Saracens do it?
Do you know when it started going wrong for Saracens?
When I left. I'm just asking.
Well, mentioning Saris there, Jim, let's dive into that, because what went wrong for them in Bordeaux?
Posing.
Well, I haven't watched all of the game, so I can only go based on the scoreline. So when I first saw the scoreline...
Was it too painful? Do you have to switch it off?
No, when I flicked it on, the travelling life on the road, I flicked it up and I saw 55...
15.
15. I thought that was the Saracens. Like, my first mind. I know. Just
away at Bordeaux.
I know. But I just saw that and thought, Saracens, 50 points, good win.
Yeah.
Left it. Then I was lying in bed watching a bit of Johnny Cash. I thought, well, I'm going to have to have a look on some of the games that I haven't seen. Saracens easy win. I was like, hang on. 55-15, they lost against Bordeaux.
Biggest ever defeat in the Investec Champions Cup.
Who we didn't even mention as potential champions of the Champions Cup, right? And then I looked at the highlights, I looked at some of the stats.
Tell Bordeaux's backline that, though.
Unreal.
Well.
But Saracens were awful. They got done every which way possible. Yeah. They got done up the guts. They got done outside. They got done in the mall.
Yeah.
Faz wasn't great. He got kick charged down and...
Intercept as well.
Hey, I thought of you, actually. Well, I was watching it Sunday night. Faz was at 10, chucks the ball, he's trying to chuck it out the back. Where does it come off?
Someone's head.
Marrow's head. Straight to Marrow's head, I thought. Jim has taught him everything he knows.
Yeah, off his head. Not a knock-on, though. But that's a worry for Saracens. When you look at the last few weeks, not played well, lost a load of games, lost to Leicester, but they've lost a load of games. So normally you see, with Saracens, you see, like, if they lose, there's a reaction the next week. So you lose against Leicester, you're going all in, you look at the team, they've gone all in. Best team they can possibly put out against Bordeaux.
They've got loads of injuries.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
Well, they've got Riccioni's injured.
Yeah.
Jamie George is injured.
So the front row is a big issue for them.
Yeah.
So let's start with that. We spoke about that. Mako's banned, but you've also got Marotoji, you've got Billy, you've got Ben Earl, you've got even Van Ziel, who's won stuff with them. You've got Owen Farrell, Nick Tompkins, you've got Elliot Daly, you've got Alex Gooders, 52.
What are you saying? There's bigger problems than we know about.
No, I am saying that that team shouldn't be getting 55 no, points right. putting them in the Champions Cup. And I suppose that is a little bit of the worry. And Mark has given them maybe a bit of a safety net by saying they're a team in transition. And one thing I will say, the news around Owen Farrell leaving
is
massive. Yeah. Regardless of what you say, Owen is Saracens. He coaches the team. He's the captain. He's the biggest voice. Take everything else out. Like, they've lost big names, Will Skelton, Jim Hamilton, George Cruz in the past. Yeah. You know, there's talk of Billy potentially leaving, Mako leaving, the South African lads are leaving. You're losing Owen Farrell. Like, he's the man. Like, that's it. There is no player that has been more influential or who is more influential to that club.
House of cards, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's a house of cards, but like Mark said, they're a team in transition, and that's an embarrassing result for them. Like, you can't get away from that. Not the scoreline, but on the snapshot of the highlights and the stuff that I looked at, they got done any which way. So take out the fact that you haven't got a huge experience in the front row. Like, if that's your excuse.
Yeah, you're right.
You're still Maratoji, one of the highest paid players in the world. Yeah. You know, you've got Nick Tompkins, international, Elliot Daly, I've gone through it. You've got Owen Farrell, he's still there.
He didn't play well, Faz, to be fair.
No,
there's a lot going on. Big decision to
make. It's massive for him.
You know, it's not a lack of heart. It was like the skill level was down. They got out-muscled. They got out-fought. They got...
Line-out didn't function.
Yeah.
Scrum got hosed.
Yeah.
They're getting skinned on the outside, offload on the inside, intercept, charge. Everything that could have went wrong.
But in reality, talking about how good...
How have we not mentioned them?
Bordeaux are.
How have we not mentioned
them? Well, look at their back line. Maxime Lucu at 9, who will play 9 for France. Mm. Jalibert was off the charts good.
Didn't know if he was that good, Andrew.
He's ridiculous.
I believe it now.
Moa Fana at 12,
yeah,
again.
He's wicked. Where was he at before? Was he at Toulouse?
He was at Toulouse.
He was.
Penno on one wing.
Unreal. Moneyball.
Biel Biarri on the other wing.
Unreal.
Who is the superstar of French rugby now. So you've got the two best wingers in France. Burros at fullback. But they're certainly in with a shout of being one of the top teams. Ironic that just before the Six Nations, the three fucking French teams have turned up, haven't they? Mm. Toulouse handed Ulster a absolute wallop him. Bordeaux smashed Saracens, and La Rochelle were back to their best against Leicester. So, ominous.
Well, mentioning Fez having a bad week on the pitch, his dad had a pretty good week, announced as the Lions head coach. Right appointment?
Was 100%.
There anyone else who could have done it?
Yeah. Worst kept secret ever that he was the obvious man.
I didn't even know they were doing a big reveal.
Yeah.
See, someone posted a picture out the window from the office.
Yeah. Just down the road from me, actually. I'm like, Faz! He's like, fuck off. Your mates with Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, obvious choice, wasn't it? Yeah, history of 2013, 2017, how he's coached Ireland. No better man for the job, really, I don't think.
Mm.
It'd be interesting to see his coaches underneath him. You know, obviously Greg has done a few. I don't think he'll carry on. I mean, I'd get Rog on the tour. See if we can get Roger out of La Rochelle for a Lions tour.
Well, there'll be no Fairs for England, obviously, the Six Nations. Marcus Smith, hopefully in that 10 shirt. But what a job he did for Quinn's 150th appearance. Cardiff, not looking great out there.
First of all, that stat, when I saw it, Marcus Smith leading the team out for his 150th Harlequins game.
Flown by.
How old is he? 24?
Flown by.
I played 200 games for Leicester and it took me 10 years in two stints. He's 24.
Is he 24?
He's been there about four seasons. No, he hasn't been there four seasons. But do you know what I mean? That's a frightening stat. And that's how important he's been. And then it made me think, he's never really been injured either, has he? You know, some players have big injuries and come back. And, you know, we've seen, like, untouchable.
24 and 150, that's a lot.
Like, it's brilliant for him and the club. Obviously, they've backed him. And let's not forget who he took over from. Do you remember who he took over from at 10?
Yeah.
Who?
Nick Evans.
Yeah. Who was an absolute club legend. So not only that, he's coming at 18 years of age, probably when he made his debut, and you're taking over from one of the greatest ever Premiership fly halves, which Nick Evans was. And he's brilliant. You look at his game, he's making tackles as well, he's making breaks, he's got his step, his hair's on point, he's got his mate Argentinian green tea drink before the game as well.
Doesn't want to do media though. He won't come on the pod, will he, Rob?
No, he's not interested.
But yeah, listen, he was fantastic. He didn't get man of the match this week. Danny Kerr got it. I think they were fed up of giving it to Marcus Smith. But
he's going to be gutted, Danny Kerr, isn't he, that he's in the Six Nations squad. He was due to get his biscuit sorted during that time. He had a shop window.
He'd earmarked a holiday and
yeah, his missus is fuming that he's going to get paid.
Danny Kerr was outstanding. But yeah, but Marcus Smith, they just dominated the game line. They've got so many options. And you look at some of the players. Oscar Beard was class as well at 13. They just They were so good. I know Cardiff are absolutely dogs at the
moment. Get them in the Prem, mate.
Yeah, what are you tweeting about that?
Fuck, it's blown up. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Someone's like, you're copying the narrative. No, I've
Sam Warburton even went, yeah.
Yeah, it will, yeah.
And it's more, the Welsh need the help. Yes, English clubs are posting losses, but imagine if Cardiff are coming and you've got to bring the scats and the dregs with you as well.
No, you don't. Mate, you don't. The drags, they don't need them.
The scats and the drags are coming.
I think it fits, but that's a story for another day.
La Rochelle looked back to their powerful best against Leicester. How much of a difference has the return of Greg Aldrich made?
Massive. He had a sabbatical post-World Cup.
Did not know that.
Yeah. He negotiated it and Ronan O'Gara said, you do what you want, son.
Do we know where he went? Do we know what he did?
Don't know. I haven't looked at his social media, but he needs some time. Like, the way he plays and the amount he carries and what they've done, not only for La Rochelle, but the French team and how he's played pretty much every game for him over the last few years. Deserves it, and you get more by giving players time off and then when they come back. But you go back to it, there was a bit of pressure on La Rochelle because they played two, lost two. Shouldn't have lost to the Stormers away. Obviously got beaten by Leinster in round one over there. But I looked at the team and I tweeted about it. 13 of the biggest monsters you've ever seen in each position. So you go across the back line and Kerr Barlow's a big lad for a nine. When you're looking at other nines, he's a big lad. Hastoy at 10, okay, 10s aren't that big. But when you go Donty and Souteni in the centres, I don't know whether there's a bigger centre partnership out there. I don't think there is. Souteni's massive. Donty's a beast as well. On the wings, you've got Teddy Thomas and Dylan Lades, both big dudes. And then you've got little Brees Doolan at fullback. But it's not necessarily about the back line. It's more about big Willy, little Willy coming at you. Aldrete was off the charts good. Weenie Antonio is huge.
Yeah, Bugarit for me is one of the best hookers in the world. Has he?
Yeah, dislocated his shoulder, I think.
He's good, mate. Yeah.
Red Awardee's massive at Loosehead as well.
And then you've got your favourite player in Lavani Botti as well. They are.
That was them.
Sensational. And
you look at Boudon as well at six, and even Delan at second row as well. He's a fucking big boy as well. Mm. Ryan O'Connor's gone, just get me the biggest lads ever. And it works. They're back to back champions. And I said it last week, didn't I? And Jim went, not really seeing it. Remember?
Mm.
You went, do you see it now?
Well, of course I see it now. It's hard when you see Big Willy, Little Willy coming around the corner there.
Yeah.
I mean.
Are you stopping that?
Am I?
Yeah. In your prime.
What do you think?
No.
He's that big that my foot with my boot on can fit into his boot. And I'm a big man, as you know. So, I mean, La Rochelle.
He should have got yellow carded in the first half, though.
Slapped
the ball out of Young's
We've not heard from TMO, Andrew.
Well, no, I've messaged Bracey. Bracey was refereeing.
Did he message back?
Yep.
Okay, don't tell us what he said.
No, well, he said, well, I'll have a look at it. But,
I'll have a look.
But then he binned him in the second half. But listen, La Rochelle were way too good. 14 clean breaks, the power game. One of those things, right? Jasper Visa has been massive in the Prem, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Carrying big. Monsters people. And I go back to the game where Leicester dominated Newcastle and Alex Cordling afterwards came out and said, I can't compete with that power. Jasper Visa comes off the bench and he's a big lad and he looks small compared to some of those La Rochelle boys. And that's not anything against Jasper Visa or anything. They were monsters.
And that's the thing with this Investec Champions Cup, which the conversation you need to have about how I'm talking about sustainability across the bloody Lions, the Barbars and now the Champions Cup. But really, on any given day, if you were to put that La Rochelle team or that Toulouse team in front of most, there'd be a few anomalies, the likes of Leinster, Bordeaux now, who've shown what they can do. But these teams, sorry to say it, without salary caps or with significantly more money to spend, it almost becomes dangerous. Like we're laughing about.
Can you imagine La Rochelle playing against Newcastle? Fully loaded La Rochelle playing.
It becomes dangerous. As in that game, some of the carries, like Souteni running over Chilcott, as well as Big Willy, Little Willy, it might have even been Andre Pollard he ran over.
Yeah.
It becomes like dangerous. Like, as in that size of man running at another man. And you have to consider it. It's like 50 odd points here, 50 odd points there. You look at Toulouse versus Ulster. That's not dangerous because Ulster were fully loaded as well and can deal with the collisions. But you go into the next round where you're out of the competition and say La Rochelle need to win and get a bonus point and you're putting
They've
out
got a straight shootout this weekend.
A load of youngsters. Well, there we go. That's where
winner
it is beneficial.
Winner takes all up in Manchester.
Mm. So that's going to be a banger. But that is the question mark as we go through the years and we go through the gears is like how sustainable is a competition where you've got one spend and maybe that is the beauty of it and the romance around it. You've got one team spending 15 million, 18 million.
Who's spending that?
Euros. Some of the top 14 teams. Is there a cap in? Is there a cap?
There is now.
What, 14, 15?
But it's that number, and it's always been a bugbear of mine. When people go, oh, 16, 18 million compared to 5 million in the Prem, it's not, because it's the whole club when they're talking about that 18 million. It's okay. Like Jill in the office, Jean-Claude, who's the cook, and all, it's everything there. So
okay,
it's,
so well, let's just double it then. Let's just say it's probably, double. Let's just say it's 10. But you look at that La Rochelle team, mate.
Yeah.
And we could start name dropping value and money if they were to go to Japan. And then you look at...
But is that not great management from Ogara and people involved at La Rochelle to put that team together?
Well, if you've got an open checkbook, yeah, it is great management to do that. The best management is someone like... this isn't me belittling Ronan Ogara, but it's a Rob Baxter, where you've got a team makeup there where you only know three players. If you were to open the team, you'd be like, oh, I know him.
Yeah.
And your budget is three or four, like the money ball.
Same as Man City in the Premier League.
But that's what I mean.
That's sport, though, isn't it?
That a boy? Mm. Yeah, that's sport. Mm. You need to invest.
Well, unless you can't.
Scrap the salary cap. Said it again. I'm just looking at La Rochelle. Look at that team. Look at Leicester's team. Look at the two back rows.
Got a few injuries, though. They've got a few injuries. Sale will fancy themselves.
Who goes through in that game? Sale, La Rochelle?
Oh, you can't look past La Rochelle with the way they played.
The salary cap.
Yeah.
Sale will have a dig. I think Winnie Antonio went off injured. Bulgarit went off injured as well. They picked up a few bumps, so...
And where is it in Manchester?
It's in Manny.
Don't travel well, but they're champions. They'll travel. They're keen.
Saints were impressive against Bayern. Do you think they could go the whole way this year or not?
Bayern under-16s.
Bayern had the same team that drew against Munster, very similar. It was embarrassing.
Northampton were bloody good.
Mate.
I know, you can only beat what's in front of you, but they were so accurate. But it was, you're right. Actually, Bayern, have a word with yourselves.
Nick Abendon on thing along, long coaching. Didn't realise he was at Bayon.
He's not doing very well, is he?
It's a hard one to call when you watch that. It's almost. Yeah. I watched it.
Is it not the same as Sarri, though?
Yeah, but not to.
Getting Humperdinck.
Yeah, but taking 50 and 70, very different.
What's the difference between 61 and 55?
A lot.
But forgetting that game, can Saints go a lot further this year? Could they go the whole way? Do they have what it takes?
I don't know. They've definitely got the style of play, and they're flying in the Premiership, and it comes back to the point that I just made. When you're up against a Toulouse, look how well Ulster have been. They beat Leinster a couple of weeks ago, and then they get absolutely slippered against Toulouse. You just don't know until you put into that baptism of fire. And if you go based on Bayonne, then you're like, well, yeah. But until they come up against, Bayonne, a proper team who are mad for it, they've got the style of play, that's for sure. They've got the defence. We had Lee Radford on the podcast. Absolute hero.
Well, to round up the Champions Cup action, let's hear your four teams who are going to make it through this weekend.
So, pool one. Bordeaux and Lyon already qualified. Bulls were good. Beat the Bristol Barebacks.
Yeah, didn't mention Bulls last week. Or Lyon, to be fair.
Without their Springboks either. Lyon, they're near the bottom of the top 14.
Long-term Lyon, I reckon.
See, what's mental is they're near the bottom of the top 14, Lyon are. Yet they're played 3-1-2, already qualified. They're playing Sarri's this week. Well, it's a straight shootout between Bristol and Sarri's for the fourth spot. Bulls are through pretty much. Bordeaux, Lyon are also through. So Bristol go to Connacht and Sarri's play Lyon at home on the Saturday night. So I expect Sarri's to go through there.
I hope Sarri's. Don't know how scarred they are.
They're at home. You'll get a response. Lyon are already qualified. They'll probably send a lesser team.
Play them last year as well.
Yeah.
Smoke them.
Yeah.
We'll say Saracens.
So Saris have...
Pool 1.
Pool 2, Jim?
See, Ulster have got Quinns away. Racing have got Cardiff at home. Ulster already on 5 points. Racing on 3. We were chatting about them earlier, that they could qualify still.
This is the thing. So Quinns are playing Ulster at home. Quinns could still get a home last 16
which
game.
Is important.
Yeah. So they're going to go gung-ho. Because Bath are away at Toulouse.
Yeah, so Bath are going to get beat by Toulouse. Oh, wait, maybe. Who you gone for?
I've gone for Toulouse, Harlequins, Bath and Racing.
Okay, I've gone the same.
It's pool 3. Saints through. Chiefs through. You've got Munster, Glasgow, Bayonne around.
Our Munster are still in it with 20 injuries. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I do.
What a win that was.
Great win against Toulon. They were very good. Glasgow deserve it. Come on, Glasgow.
Saints, Exeter, Munster and Glasgow.
Yeah, I'm going to go Glasgow.
There you go.
Sorry, Wigsville.
And then pool 4. Tough one, this one.
Well, who the Stormers playing, because someone needs to give them a bit of ice poisoning. You see, Alex Anderson said they all had the shirts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all ill, and he's putting it down to the ice and the drinks.
He said they were
shitting like you've never seen
really?
In your life.
There we go. So the Stormers go away to Stade Francais. Leicester play Leinster at home. Straight shootout between La Rochelle and Sale.
Oh, still Sale. Mental that you've got to travel from Cape Town to Paris to play again. Anyway, sorry, I'm being negative. Leinster, I'm there, you're there.
Leicester are Stormers and Leinster, I think.
I think Leicester beat Leinster.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Good on you, Jim.
You're welcome. And La Rochelle, because back-to-back champions.
So you're going Leinster, Stormers, Leicester and La Rochelle.
Mm.
I agree.
All right, there we go.
Well, before we finish off, let's revisit the good, bad and the ugly.
Yeah, let's do that. We're going to start off with Toulouse. Absolutely ridiculously good at Ulster, especially Anton Dupont. He was a cheat code. So they get mentioned the good. Bordeaux, we've talked about them. Spanking Saracens, 55-15. Matthew Jalibanta, or Mathieu Jalibanta, was off the charts good as well. Bath get a shout in the good this week. Big bonus point win against Racing. 15 points from a possible 15 in their pool. Finn's tackling. Big Finn Russell.
Best 10, you didn't tell me. Best tackling 10?
Right now around the game? Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Who else is there?
Exactly.
Andre, nah. I'm just going internationally. It's got to be another banger, isn't there?
Oh.
I can't think of one.
There you go. There you go. So I'm right.
Yeah. Anyway, Finn Russell's tackling gets a big shout out in the good. La Rochelle get a shout out in the good as well. Back to their champion best, overpowering the Tigers. Let's go to the Challenge Cup, James.
Oh, okay. What you got?
Gloucester.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
Commentator.
Who are you supporting?
It's mixed.
You have to pick a team.
Mixed.
You live in Edinburgh. You played for hashtag Always. You talk about hashtag Always. You're Scottish. You play for Gloucester as well.
I'm supporting Gloucester. Edinburgh through. So it's...
There you go. Anyway, good win for...
Good win.
Gloucester at hashtag always Edinburgh.
Yeah, 1 point in it. Very good.
At Hive. What's it called? Hive?
No, it is called The Hive, yes. Not The Hive. Dam. It used to be called The Dam Health
Stadium.
But
it's not called The Hive.
It's called Hive. I don't name the stadiums. It's just bloody Edinburgh, Edinburgh.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, shout out to Gloucester for that away win. Benetton get a shout in the good as well. Absolutely spanking Newcastle. What else? Henry Slade. And extra Chiefs get a shout in the good this week.
The kick, are you going to say?
Another clutch kick from Sladey. I mean, do you remember what they called him at the testimonial that we did about his piece?
Small piece.
Dog chew dick.
Oh, gosh.
But I'm like, he's got massive spuds because he keeps nailing these clutch kicks. So shout out to Sladey.
Would you rather have the career that he's having or a bigger piece?
Well, he's happily married.
You don't know if he's happily married.
Anyway, Sladey looks $1 million, but apparently he's got a dog chew dick. So that's what the boys
Poor
said.
Lad.
That's what Jack Knoll said anyway.
Jack Knoll said that, not me.
Yeah. What else is good? The Bulls get a mention in the good this week without their Springboks, but they dispatched Bristol pretty comfortably. But the good this week goes to one team, one place, one province, and it's the mighty Red of Munster. An amazing bonus point win down at Toulon. They've got 20 injuries. Simon Zebo, what about his try? My old chip off.
It was good. He's a shout, you know, for the Ireland squad.
Yeah. Shout out to Nash as well on the wing. See
Calvin Nash.
Calvin. Yeah, so Munster, they get the good this week for under pressure. They drew at home to Bayonne early in the group. They lost away at Exeter. They've gone down to Toulon, got a bonus point win. I spoke to a mate last week who's a Munster fan. I'm like, I reckon you've got it in you this week. He's like, nah, not too long. Don't sit. There's always a big performance in Munster at some point, and that was at the weekend. So Munster get the good this week. The bad, few bits of bad. We are going to start off with Leolan Zass. You know who that is, Jim?
Yeah, he plays for the Stormers.
There you go. Gifting a try to Sam Bedo. What the hell was he doing?
Mm.
That was ridiculous. Cardiff get mentioned the bad this week, taking 54 points at home. Sticking with the 50-odd pointers. Newcastle get another mention of the bad this week. They took 57 at home to Benetton, and it was -6. So
you know what the attendance was? Could you count them?
It's 4,326.
That's all right.
Yeah,
that's all right.
I saw one bloke, right? It was fucking freezing. I saw one bloke in a long-sleeve T-shirt and
scaffolder.
A pair of shorts. Like, hard as you like.
Rob's dad.
Who else gets a shout in the bad? Bayonne, taking 61 points at Northampton Saints. But the bad this week, James, goes to?
You can say it. You've not said it for a while.
Saracens, taking 55 points and their biggest ever Champions Cup loss at Bordeaux. So, not good for them. Ugly, two bits of ugly. Alfie Barbary's hit. Red card every day of the week.
First one,
yeah. Yeah, can you get two bans?
Andrew, you're asking the wrong
forearm
man.
Forearm to the throat. It's a yellow card, the forearm, but it should have been a red for the tackle in the first half. That gets mentioned in the ugly, but the ugly this week goes to Api Ratuni-Urawa, who has been banged up for his misdemeanours.
Jesus Christ.
On barbarian's duty, so not a good look at all.
Thanks for that, Goody. And we're going to finish off with a couple of shout-outs.
Yes, we are. A massive shout-out to Kersley Under-15s, hailing from the mighty Coventry.
My former club.
Yes.
Yeah, I played a game for them when I was
dad,
a kid.
I think my dad played for Kersley.
I tell you what, they loved the scrap. They loved the bloody scrap, I tell you that.
Yeah. Who, after only having 5 players 3 years ago, are now thriving and even won their first game last week. Big shout-out to all the parents and kids there for sticking with it and enjoying their rugby unions.
There we go. This one, unfortunately, lads, is a very sad one. So I spoke at Ross High last year. You remember me talking about Salt of the Earth Club in the outskirts of Edinburgh. I was sat next to the captain, Aidan, who unfortunately died over the Christmas New Year period.
Oh, no.
So he had a heart attack, which was awful news. Young son, young family. And I know that everyone at Ross High is really struggling. The fixtures are still ongoing now, so they're trying to move some of them to try and have some time to grieve. So everyone at Ross High, I'm thinking about you and, of course, Aidan's family.
And Jim, finally, you're going to be in Cardiff on the 30th of Jan.
And you are.
I will be there as well,
of course,
preview the Guinness Six Nations with Welsh legends Scott Quinnell and Alex Cuthbert. Also, attendance gets a free pint of beer. So thanks to Guinness for that.
There we go. Thank you, Guinness.
They can get their tickets on Eventbrite now.
That's where they go. Eventbrite is where the tickets are. We're not going to promo yours yet. I know you've sold out live show, haven't you?
Sold about 20 tickets. Yeah.
That's fine. 20 intimate.
Yeah, that's
what we're saying. But
small.
Hey, it's more than Andy Rowe.
Hey, we're going to be in, it's in Cardiff, right?
It's
O'Neill's.
Yep.
O'Neill's, and with a great Scott Quinnell, who could sell you a pencil. I will run through a wall for that man. Have you seen the dragon? Have you seen the fucking dragon? And friend of the show, Alex Cuthbert as well. So looking forward to that.
Good night. Get your tickets on Eventbrite now. Well, guys, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks, Goody. Thanks, Jim. And thanks to all of you for listening. We'll see you next week. And until then, don't forget to check us out on YouTube and make sure you're subscribed on Spotify.
Nice, Freddie. Rugby Spot.
Spotted pod.